recording. We are recording on March 3rd, 2021 for the 235th episode of the Quarantine Cast. 234th episode of the Quarantine Cast. I apologize. I don't know where my headspace is at. You listeners didn't hear it. Google Tactics heard it. An interesting conversation before we started recording. My mind is still there, but we're not talking about it because that
it's
is...
It's also not... It's not Google. It's not... And it's not Tactic. Or Tactics. It's just Tactic.
Tactic.
T-A-C-T-I-Q.
I hate it.
Tactic.
I'm sorry.
It has nothing to do with Google.
When we found out that Google Hangouts was... had the potential to also be doing captions and is certainly listening to us, I just conflated that with our with the other captioning software you found.
Yeah, it's what we're using to harness Google listening to us.
So what do you guys
put lightning in a bottle?
Yeah, what do you guys have going on?
Well, since we're on the topic of scary tech, you guys see that Google Mesh shit or Microsoft Mesh? It wasn't Google, was it? I think it was Microsoft.
I have not.
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah, they released like a trailer for it today with like a concept video of like what it'll look like and shit. And I see that, and I think, yeah, this is very similar to like when Google released the Google Glass trailer and like, wow, this looks really cool, and then it never amounted to anything. I think this one is supposedly more substantial, like they're farther along.
What is Microsoft Mesh?
It's basically a set
AR goggles.
Yeah, it's like a set of like goggles and hologram projectors that like allow you to interact and collaborate with people that are also using that tech, and then using that to one, see those people in your space, and then two, interact with virtual items within the space that you've created. So, and then, you know, they gave a bunch of examples of like, yeah, like looking at charts and like manipulating numbers and stuff like that for business purposes, or, you know, a very Iron Man-esque, like having like a small engine projected in front of you and then taking it apart with your hands, like that type of thing.
Okay, so this is how we get to the Blade Runner 2077 hologram sex scene, right here. This is what Microsoft is doing.
2049.
Sure.
All right. Here's what I'm going to say. Uh-huh. As someone who works for a large corporation, this shit is going to be so expensive.
Yeah.
And never in a million years will a corporation spend money on this when they can just do Zoom calls for cents. Like, it makes zero financial sense. For a definitely a better product, but not a like necessity. Silicon Valley tech bros will use this because it's cool.
Yeah.
Not because it's financially makes sense. Yeah. It allows you to do things that others don't.
Because the and also like this would have been again like you're absolutely right, and like this is going to be so expensive that just yeah, like standardizing this across the company would be an astronomical cost that nobody would be willing to undertake. Also, they're releasing this now as the vaccine is getting rolled out and potentially the like mass working from home bubble is going to burst. I get
it
that
it will not burst.
No, I get that a lot of people are going to continue working from home.
The bubble will get more expensive as companies struggle to compete with companies that don't have to pay for real estate. I'm telling you right now,
okay,
dude, work from home is going to become the new normal, and they're right to continue developing this.
We got one room in an office building just for tax purposes, just so we can declare headquarters. Everybody's remote now. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's strange, though, because this, at least with the marketing that I've seen so far, and like, yeah, it could change, is definitely being marketed as a, this is for business purposes, this is for like virtual meetings, where... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how often companies are going to use this for their, yeah, like weekly area call to like talk about so-and-so task when they, you know, could instead go in the direction of like, wow, progressive tech, this is some Apple shit and you'll buy it because it's cool and that's the justification for buying it.
It makes so much more sense, to make it consumer-facing
and
be like, this shit's pretty fucking wild.
Like,
man.
Oh, do you miss your mom? Well, you can just sit next to each other and cook together. And like,
you can be in the same room. Like, would make way more sense.
Are you on a business trip and, you know, want to see like your daughter and help her like with her homework? Like, this is a good way to do that. Like that type of thing.
For me, like, it's just the having worked for a big corporation for a while. Never.
Controversial statement. Maybe a third of the people in any given office are going to be able to kind of figure out how to work that shit.
Yeah, there's going to be one guy. Yep. He's not going to be on the IT team. It's one guy that they've designated as like, ooh, the cool tech guy is going to have to help every single person use that thing.
Except for they won't, because once again, this is only going to take off in Silicon Valley for like the same reason that we're talking about why they should sell it to consumers. Because in Silicon Valley, it's all about like the crazy shit. Like we're sparing no expense. Come work for us because we spend money for the fuck of it. Like we have more than we know what to do with.
Maybe Microsoft will use it.
Yeah, you would fucking hope Microsoft does. But yeah, like fucking Amazon, Google, Facebook, all them. That's how they recruit and get the quote unquote best and brightest. Is by basically bragging and flexing on everyone and being like, look at all this crazy shit we have because we have more money than we know what to do with. Mm. Any company that's like an actual corporation that bases its, you know, bases everything off of actual cost and effect and has to like run shit on like, is this actually going to be worth the cost over a long term and like run it by accountants? And isn't just like a 30-year-old CEO going like,
that's cool.
That shit's pretty cool. We need that. And they're like, that'll be $4.6 million. And he's like, that's what we made last minute. Cool. Sign.
No, yeah, it is.
It's never, ever, ever going to be mainstream. Fucking like Deloitte is never going to fucking adapt something like this. That'd be insane. Like the Shell Corporation is not gonna.
I like how some of these were clearly presented as it's like an art teacher, like that's his business, is he teaches like art. I'm like, these people aren't gonna be able to fucking afford this shit. And then there was like, like a machine tooling company that were like taking apart like different engines. I'm like, these guys are not going to be using AR goggles. Yeah. They're not going to be projecting their homeboy onto their floor so that they can talk about, like, fuel efficiency.
I hear that, and I know the internal conversation at that company is going to be, well, if we adopt this, that is going to put the guy we have on just building test models out of business. I don't know if we want to do that.
Yeah, it's all cool tech and engineer, and this is like we hear a lot about it, how like marketers and business people ruin tech because all they're trying to do is just make money. But this is where engineers can struggle when they're just like, hey, make some crazy shit. Like, they'll do it and it's cool. Yeah. Like, it's objectively cool shit.
Yeah.
But it's just has no function and no purpose. Like, it just, there's not a market for it. And look, maybe I'll be eating my words and we'll be recording this podcast using Microsoft Mesh in 6 years.
We'll have our virtual podcast studio where it's the three of us hanging out as holograms. But yeah.
There are definitely cool applications, but I don't know. Cool. Good for Microsoft. Good for Microsoft putting great stuff out into the world.
So let's say they pivot and like shoot this more towards just everyday consumers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, this is a cool tech thing that we have. How much do you think this sort of thing would cost?
Everyday consumers? I don't know. What's a VR headset right now? Like,
anywhere between $200 and $800.
Yeah. Like a grand then? Can we clap sync quick? Oh, yeah, totally. You are a little quiet, though. Did your audio input change?
Okay, let's just do the sync.
All right, sounds good. The clap on record.
I will come back in if I'm done before the podcast finishes up.
Good luck, cool. Buddy.
Otherwise, I'll you guys can wrap it up.
Knock 'em dead, Chief.
Cool. Yeah.
No, this is going to be at least a couple grand at first.
Oh, you think it's going to be a couple grand?
With what's going... I mean, there's nothing even comparable to this also, and yeah, it's also exactly. Future techy enough that it's going to brand itself as a luxury purpose, and then yeah
I mean, it's just that since they're marketing it towards, you know, business purposes, you know, that like, hey, like, outfit your staff with a couple of these and, you know, whatever, I would think that they would have to make it, I mean, I can't even say competitive pricing because there's nothing else like it that will be on the market. Also, we don't know when it's going to come out, but...
Now, wait, hold on. If I get a Microsoft Mesh and go into a chat room, can I make myself an anime cat girl like people can currently in VR chat? Because if not, that... Okay.
So
not a step backwards.
Obviously, those were not the avatars that they used. But they showed in the examples, and again, I think these are more of like concepts than like what the tech will actually look like. But they had situations where the holograms looked just like people. Mm-hmm. Like they were clearly like, this is an image of me being projected and moving around to other people that look like me. And sometimes they were cartoons.
Okay.
And it like, you know, there was no real distinction as to like why. Yeah, I think that was just like, yeah, the equivalent of a Zoom background. Like, yeah, like I made this one, this is just me, or I made myself look like a Pixar character. That type of thing.
And
or like maybe it's more like a, if you don't have an add-on that does like realistic photo imaging, it just gets like your basic shape down and then it fills that in with a cartoon. I don't know.
So
I don't know.
If there's a way to integrate this with the fully rigged up VR YouTuber technology that already exists, this is going to be dangerous.
Oh yeah, no, this is some dystopian shit.
Yeah,
I'm very excited for it because I think it's cool, and I'm sure I won't have enough money to buy one. And even if I did, you can't really use it unless you're like, you know, other people that are also able to buy one. But yeah, it seems cool. But like, yeah, I can't buy a VR headset right now. They're too expensive. One, you need a high-end gaming PC, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. Two, the hardware for the headset itself is really expensive.
Right.
Like, yeah, I guess you could get a, what are they called? Like Oculus Quests or like the cheap ones that you don't need a computer for. I think those are like $300 or $400.
But those are... Those are literally just a headset. There's no motion tracking with those. It's a, you're, you know, essentially the TV is wrapped around your face, but you're still using a controller.
No, like.
I thought that was the more affordable option.
I mean, I think there are more affordable options like that, but Oculus made a cheaper version of the headset that is, I think, supposed to be used without being directly connected to a gaming PC. And it does work the same as a VR headset. It's just drastically less powerful. But like it itself is the console, I believe. Like you download games onto it.
Does it still have sensor setups to track motion? I would
assume. I mean, they showed it. Like, again, I've never even used a gaming VR headset, but like it had the same looking controls and the same headset thing, people looking around doing shit. So I think so.
Okay.
just, I'm guessing, drastically less sensitive. The graphics are probably way worse, and the processing power is shit, if I had to guess.
Also, the games aren't that great.
Some of the games are pretty cool.
They're cool to watch. I don't know if they'd be fun to play.
Some people like VR. I don't like to hate on VR because, like, it is trying to move us into the next stage of what video games are going to be. And there's so many people that are just like, well, it's not really viable right now, so let's never try it. Like, let's just let VR die and go back to sitting in front of our TV with a controller, the same that we've been doing for the last 20 years, but, like, with better fidelity.
I mean, that's fair. But then also, movies have kind of more or less been the same thing for the past 100 years.
Yeah. I'm not saying that those things are bad, but, like, people that try new things, like, I think they should be lauded, and I think we should, you know, put effort into doing stuff with that. I think that there's going to be VR movies.
That's fair.
I think that's going to be a thing. I think there are going to be more, like, interactable, like, programs, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, Bandersnatch.
Kind of like a, well, I mean, yeah, I think there's going to be more stuff like Bandersnatch. Bandersnatch wasn't the best version of what that thing could be, obviously. But it was, for all intents and purposes, the first major one. And I think that's a major step. And we could either say, well, this one isn't good. The first time they tried it, it wasn't great, so let's abandon that. Or they can say, let's make a better version of that.
That's fair.
I think people need to do the same thing with VR.
Very fair. And I have nothing against VR either. I just have no interest in purchasing one for the variety of reasons you mentioned. Also because I've yet to find any games that seem super appealing to me. And also, I know I'm gonna get motion sickness in them. I couldn't stand to be on a whaling boat for like 20 minutes senior year of high school. This thing is gonna destroy me.
So I saw today that they're making, I think it's either 2016 Doom or Doom Eternal VR. I think it's Doom Eternal. Like, they announced it today. It's going to be VR. And my first thought was, I would vomit.
Yeah.
That sounds so disorienting.
There.
A game that, like, your whole purpose is, one, also, yeah, just, like, graphic violence in your face, chainsawing through demons, blood and guts everywhere, which sounds disgusting in VR. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, like, moving super fast, never stopping, spinning around, twitch muscle shots, that type of thing.
Yep.
That sounds awful in VR. Sounds like a good workout.
Maybe. Did you ever have any interest in buying Ring Fit Adventure? I was talking to somebody about that the other day.
No,
and that is,
never. Not a single moment did I ever think I would enjoy that.
I know we're in a quarantine pandemic where people can't go to the gym, but it is shocking to me how quickly that took off. I don't know. Then again, I guess a lot of people were into Wii Fit, and that never resonated with me on any level, mostly because I was 13, but whatever. Yeah.
Hey, can you riff for a minute? I apologize.
Oh, no, God.
Ryan dropped off. I need to go for a minute. I will be right back. Okay?
I am the captain now. It is Lucas's time. It is Lucas's time down here. Everything coming up, Lucas. Oh, that might be all the references I have. Wow, I do not know where to pivot from this one all by myself. Looks like the quote on Time Dot is today, "The key is not in spending time, but in investing it." Stephen R. Covey. Let's see what Stephen R. Covey has going on, because that's a little sus. Wikipedia. Was an American educator, author, businessman, and keynote speaker. His popular book is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Named him one of the 25 most, Time Magazine, 25 most influential people. 1996.
Is he just another motivational self-help book writer that just says dumb things that everyone already says and makes a bunch of money off of it?
potentially, and like, that's fine, whatever. If people get inspiration and the direction they need from him, cool. But his quote that was on Time.is the key is in not spending time, but in investing it. And that is a little like bridging on greed is good territory. And I want to make sure this guy was above board. And at the very least, the beginning of his Wikipedia page seems to suggest that.
So if time is the currency, does that mean that like by investing time, what you're attempting to do is getting rid of time that you have at the moment so that later down the line, you'll get a bunch of time?
Yeah, you take your wrist bracelet thing, put it over a node that subtracts some of your time, and then if stocks go up, you can like withdraw that and then go on to live in not Looper. Why do I always think that movie is Looper? Fuck, what is that movie?
In Time.
God damn, that's why. That's why I think it's Looper, because that's a good name. In Time, fuck.
I read it more as a, like, work your ass off right now, give up all your free time, be a fucking cog in the capitalist machine, so that eventually you'll have enough money to retire.
Okay.
So that you won't have to be spending your time.
Now, Stephen Arcovi is dead, so we can't ask him to clarify, unfortunately.
Well, that's what you think.
What? Oh. He invested his time so well, he can come back to life.
Oh, speaking of things coming back to life, we didn't talk about it last week because I had not seen the episode yet, but Ryan's gone, so we might as well talk about WandaVision. What'd you think? Because I think it was sad and fine.
Yeah, okay, so they're going to break this out. I'm going to first talk about what I thought of the episode, and then this weird social media situation that's cropped up around the episode.
Yeah.
To the first point, yeah, it was a decent episode. I wish any of the characterization of Wanda in any other piece of Marvel media had hinted beforehand that she was really into American television and all of that stuff, because I enjoy the premise of WandaVision, I enjoy this setup, but it hits so much harder if we had known from the get-go that this was an actual part of her character and they didn't have to retroactively fill that in. But otherwise, fine episode. Glad one of the leading women of the MCU finally gets more than just a paragraph of background story and actual motivation and character. What did you think of the episode by itself?
I mean, I would basically agree. I mean, I'm a little sad that they've kind of had to drop the sitcom pretense. Mm-hmm. Now that it's like, yeah, no, we caught up with modern day sitcoms. We don't, you know, have to do this anymore. Now we're just a Marvel TV show again.
Yeah.
And it's like it's still good, but like what made it great was this super fucking weird premise where you never knew what was going on.
Right.
And it like, yeah, like they kept changing the setting and the characters and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was great. I think it's still good.
Yeah. I'm sorry, just to interject quickly, but then one part of that really did it for me was that, like, yeah, that was weird when they were doing the Generations of TV show, but also I liked that as a show without the weird stuff in it. Like, I kind of want to go back to that. Give me another season of Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen just being incredible on screen together and having fun. I'd watch that.
Yeah, me too. Like, that was a great time, and I miss that. Like you said, like it was pretty solid just as a episode of TV. To what you were saying though, with the like, yeah, it kind of sucks that they had to like retroactively, you know, go in and give Wanda all of this backstory and meat to her character. It's like, well, I'm glad that they did that because the people that wrote the other MCU movies did not. Like, yeah. Wanda was not a character. She was mm-hmm. much like the other women in the MCU, was kind of just a blank slate with not a whole lot going on, but like a cool character design. Like, there's nothing really going on there. And then I think that this show did a good job of going out and trying to fix that. And saying like, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. At least with this character. We're going to try to make her matter. We're going to give her story. We're going to make you care about her. And I like that. I like that they, you know, decided to take this character that didn't have anything going on. And then, yeah, like, make her a really good character.
But then, true. Yeah, but it also could have just been a line of dialogue that they added in one of the movies that was something like, and I don't know, the timeline doesn't fully work out for this one, but she quoted something from I Love Lucy or some shit, and Captain America's just like, hey, I get that reference. Wait, do you like old TV? Because that's like all the TV I know. Right. Like that,
but,
it would,
but what I'm
yeah.
saying is, when those movies were written, that wasn't a part of her character because she didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't think this was a, oh, they should have done this thing, you know, before to make this make more sense.
Right.
Because the whole point of what they're doing right now is to give her character that wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I wish they had too, because I wish that they had just written this woman as an actual person.
Very much. And then I will say also, before we get into the social media shit, just goals, falling in love with somebody while watching Malcolm in the Middle.
Not bad.
All right, okay, you just made both of these characters infinitely more endearing to me. So we're either allowed to think, according to social media, according to Twitter, that either what is grief, if not love preserving, is either the...
Persevering.
That is either the greatest line in television history or absolute dog shit. No middle ground.
Yeah, I know. It's so dumb that this
right?
is where it went. Like, it was a decent line. Like, I thought it was a pretty good line. And it was delivered in sort of a heavy-handed way because that's what the situation called for.
Mm-hmm.
I get that there wasn't a lot of nuance and that was very on the nose, but that was the point.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go out and say, like, yeah, this was the, you know, the greatest writing moment of all time. You know, like... You hear that sound? That's every writer in America giving a reverent fuck, like that type of thing.
Right.
But also, like, I get that it, you know, is not, you know, it's not Oscar worthy. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. Who gives a shit? And it's funny, the memes that got made about it. Like, those memes
yes.
are genuinely funny. But the people that hate it so much, I just don't get it.
I think it's backlash to people really in the Marvel Kool-Aid thinking that is one of the best lines in TV history.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm in the same camp as you. I thought it was a fine line, and it is good writing in the sense that, yeah, this weird robot man who became a person like 6 months ago would say this, would think this is a profound and comforting thing to say to somebody going through an emotion he only has a textbook understanding of, and also somebody who would just, like, lose his shit if he found out people could walk backwards, or that he could walk backwards, or just who was still learning how to be a person and everything involved in that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it works for the character, it's appropriate.
And obviously the line was delivered in a way that was supposed to be subtext for the whole
mm-hmm.
The whole series, like the whole point of like what Wanda's going through. We get that. I get that it is very Kojima-esque in the fact that there is no subtlety. There's
yep.
no that I said it was subtext, but like it's not yep. subtext, it's just text. But we also like Kojima games. We like that shit. But yeah, like I think you're right in that people got really into dunking on this because they're sick of Marvel fans thinking that everything that is in the Marvel universe is like the peak of film and writing. It's like when it's like when Marvel fans go out there and say, like, you know, name a better shot in film history, and it's just like some random MCU thing that is just all CGI. It's like, yeah, like this looks cool, but like you need to see some other movies.
Right. And I,
but again, like those people are shitty. Your response to that doesn't have to be dunking on everything that they like and going after people that just are having a good time with this.
I am really kind of burnt out on MCU stuff too, which is why I'm so delighted to be into WandaVision, because it is so weird and managed to get me back into this IP at least. But yeah, everyone on social, you don't have to be so loud about you disliking something. That's not a personality, and like, save it for a group chat, you know?
Yeah. Not liking things that other people like is not a personality trait. Like, just being part of, I don't know, being part of the artistic counterculture is not a personality trait. In the same way that liking The Office is not a personality trait, not liking The Office is also not a personality trait. Like, you need to become more of a person, guy. Like, Jesus.
Has anyone asked Martin Scorsese what he thought of that latest WandaVision episode?
Oh, fuck me, dude.
Lingering question. A couple of lingering questions from the episode. So, what is the in-hex vision made out of?
He's made out of the energy that Wanda got from the Mind Stone. He was created purely from Wanda's magic. He is made out of what Vision is made out of because Wanda made it in her head. Appeared in real life. But she gave him life and sentience because of the shit that she got from the Mind Stone.
I thought the rule to her vague and weird powers was she can't create anything. She can only alter matter to form new stuff.
No, because what the witch lady at the end, you know, Agatha Harkness, what she said before she dropped the "you're the Scarlet Witch" roll credits, before she dropped that line, it was like, I know what you are, like, you have the power of spontaneous creation, like that's what Wanda is. She can create and destroy reality, basically.
Okay,
so like the Wanda that she made in the hex is real, because she made him, yep. But he only exists within the confines of, like, her magic, basically.
For now.
In the same way that, like, those kids are real to her. And, like, there's going to be some bad shit going on. And that's what I'm worried about, is that they're making Wanda a character with a lot going on. And she's so far been defined as a character by what she's lost. I don't really want them to be like, and she's going to continue being like that, because we just are going to continue to torture her. And we gave her kids so that we could kill them. And we gave her a husband so that we could kill them. And we're going to give her a second whiter husband, probably so that we can kill him. All that shit. I didn't even see the post-credit scene. I just saw about it on Twitter and then had to look it up on YouTube.
You know what? Yeah, that's how you make an evil-looking Vision. Just make them all white. What the fuck was up with that Salem witch trial thing at the beginning of the episode? Did we need that? Anyone need that?
No, that was dumb. That was stupid. I saw some nerd shit saying that, like, that is calling back to some other shit in the Marvel comics, and that those witches are characters in, like, the Doctor Strange universe. So that was there so that Wanda's story could relate to Doctor Strange story and all that shit. I don't know. Because I guess she's going to be, like, the second half of the next Doctor Strange movie. Mm-hmm. She's going to be a character in it, so... Yeah, whatever.
We didn't need... I don't even know if that scene was trying to make Agatha sympathetic or what was going on there, but like we didn't need it. Wizards, magic people had already been established in the MCU, and she was a likable enough character from just everything else in WandaVision by itself so far that, okay, cool. I am down to see her on screen. She gonna be comically evil now? Into it. Let's go. Whatever. And then, only other thing I have lingering from that episode, Quicksilver. Surprisingly absent for this and the past couple episodes.
Yeah, it turns out he's not real. What was the fucking point of bringing in the X-Men Quicksilver for this point? Like, because Agatha's whole thing, she's like, yeah, no, like, I just possessed some guy and made you think that he was your brother.
There's no way the Marvel people, who are usually so on top of this, on top of their audience, would think, yeah, they'll appreciate this fun little wink to the X-Men and then get over it and move on. No way.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea.
I know it's going to be way over budget for what this show is working on, but I would love it if he comes back in the slowdown time, some very expensive copyright piece of music playing in the background.
Yeah.
And then just does anything. I don't know. I would enjoy that. Those scenes are fun. All right. We're going to say this WandaVision talk was the wacky post roll. Thank you all so much for tuning into episode 234 of the Quarantine Cast. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram and YouTube for highlight clips. Email us your business, questions, and opportunities, volunteerviewing@gmail.com. Apparently, we're influencers now, or considered, like, to become some. That's neat. Support us on Patreon if you're feeling generous. Support a variety of great causes using the ActBlue links in the description down below. And follow me on Twitter @LukeStrider if you'd like to keep up with all of my writing, including a piece I'm really proud of about Chainsaw Man, currently up on Anime Feminist. Thank you all again for tuning in, and good luck out there.